It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Ba-ba-boo!
Mush!
If you're a fan of adventure, then I hope you enjoyed your ride into work this morning. Wow!
You know, can I just say, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't better when we hit the roads, because this was anticipated.
It was.
And I will tell you this, Tiki the dog woke me up every 2 hours last night, because when it snows, he's a snow dog. He likes to go outside and sniff for wabbits.
Uh-huh.
So I, like an idiot, would get up and let him out, and I'd look at our streets, no plowing. So at 2:20, no plowing.
Yeah.
4:20, no plowing. 6:20, they're starting to plow. So why wouldn't they keep up with this all night long, knowing that it was happening?
Are you talking about a main road or a side road?
I'm talking about suburbs right now.
Can I just ask, is yours the only street in your town?
No, but I mean, that was a six-hour window where I felt that they would have started doing it.
But their protocol is main roads, main arteries first, and then there's a trickle-down to even your own road.
We're a fire truck route.
Yeah, but they're going to go main routes, especially with the snow that kind of continued throughout the night. They're going to do the main roads 3, 4, 5 times before they even think about
it. But
getting
did they
to.
Do the main roads? Because traffic, 3 hours to get in on the Kennedy at
one
point?
No, come on. We got to cut him some slack today. I think that it was snowing so hard.
It was continuous,
with this lake effect snow. I mean, I took the train, and I got off the train downtown, and, I mean, it was not a blizzard because it wasn't the wind, but it was snowing as hard as I've ever seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when this lake effect snow starts dropping snow, there's just nothing you can do. And it happens during rush hour. I mean, you know, had I taken, according to the travel times, it would have taken me 5 hours to get to work this morning.
Right. The strangest thing is, like, by the time I got to Lakeshore Drive today, to get to Lakeshore Drive was the challenge, because there was about a 15 to 20 minute wait just to get onto Lakeshore Drive. So then once you're on Lakeshore Drive, there's pretty much no snow on the roadways and no ice. It's just wet. No one was really sliding. It was just wet. So
but
it's
still
so
bumper
mysterious.
To bumper.
Yeah.
Because I took Ogden Avenue, which was completely backed up. And then at Costner and Roosevelt, a snowplow was turning a corner right into the front grill of a car. So that intersection.
You're not supposed to do
that. Yeah. I mean, it was really bad, but we've had snowstorms before, and typically they stay on top of it. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just curious as to why it was so bad, considering we knew this was coming.
I'm not sure. And we actually had a practice day yesterday.
Right.
You know, they kind of put us in the mood of snow yesterday, so this wouldn't be a shocker to our systems, but it was still an adventure.
When it snows at the heart of rush hour, I mean, all bets are off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I left early. I made it here, if you can believe it. I'm late every other day, but I was here on the day of the big snow.
Well, both you and I separately called Kevin and said, we're going to be late. And somehow it picked up. It's the strangest thing, because you would think the hub of activity when it comes to traffic would be the city itself, right? But for me, on my ride in down Lakeshore Drive, heading from Evanston, the traffic is always like around North Avenue and Belmont and Fullerton. That's where it's thick. Once you get toward the city, it's not that bad. I don't understand that.
That is weird.
It should be the opposite.
All right. Well, we need to meet Elizabeth, because I think Elizabeth is crazy.
Hey, Wendy. Hey, Bill.
Are you crazy,
you,
Elizabeth?
I think I am.
Oh, all right.
I wish we had at least 2 to 3 feet of snow.
What? No, how come? Why would you
crazy.
Say that? You're crazy.
I love snow. I actually have a Labrador that loves to run in the snow.
Yeah.
Loves the snow up to her hind legs. She actually loves to physically do dog sledding.
Yeah.
And we moved from St. Louis, Missouri area up here because we weren't getting the snow we wanted.
You wanted more snow, but, so you moved here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Crazy.
Well, Wendy makes an argument. So this is not enough for you. You want more. This is just the tip of the snowberg. All right.
Right.
The snowberg?
I want more snow.
Yeah. All right. I hope you get your wish.
I hope you don't. I'm sorry, Elizabeth.
Hey,
I don't
Wendy,
want.
And yes. You're talking about your dog.
Yes.
Being outside. My lab loves to be outside with snow.
They love it. They put their little snout in the snow and look like they're sniffing for truffles.
Right.
It's
and I
cute.
Have to say, I love your show. I moved up here, and I have to say that I've actually taught my boyfriend how to stream up here, and we actually listen to you in the afternoon.
All right, awesome. Maybe you're not that crazy after all. We rescind.
Well, I love you too, Bill.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right, okay. Enjoy the snow, Elizabeth. Make some angels today. What?
I'm just trying to review in my head. She did say what I think she said. She moved here from St. Louis to be closer to the snow. That's why they moved here.
Yeah, I don't know who advised
her. All right.
But it's all right. Teresa's on the line. Good morning, Teresa. You survived?
Hey. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm coming from Lake County. I'm on the evenings. I'll be at work in like 2 minutes. Having said that, with all the cutbacks, the government cutbacks, because we don't have a balanced budget, we don't have a budget, you know, roads and salt, you know, it's kind of low on the list, so it's pretty, I think the clearing the roads, I have a feeling that budget's been cut because I'm not seeing it as much in Cook County or Lake County.
It's hard to tell this year because we've had so little snow. In other years, you'd be able, it'd be an easier thing to figure out, but this year's been tricky.
You know, there actually was a story in the beginning of winter that, and I don't know how it plays today, but because of the state budget situation, that the state was actually relying on some counties to clean roads.
Oh.
That the state would have picked up before, so there might be something to that.
How about that?
Yeah, I live in Lake County right by the salt where the trucks come from, like a block away, and it is slow. My roads are clear around my house because of where I live, but yeah, it's a lot less than it usually is.
Oh, that's too bad.
Is.
How about that? Well, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Teresa.
I love Steve Bertrand. Thank
Everyone
you.
Loves Steve Bertrand.
Yay, Steve
He's
Bertrand.
My hero. Bertrand.
He's the best.
Your hero.
Spirit animal. All right, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. All right, more people want to talk about the snow and our hero, Steve Bertrand. 312-981-7200 gets you through. Either text or phone call. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. Medical Watch reporter Dina Baer takes you inside America's killer epidemic, hijacked the opioid addiction crisis. A special report this week on WGN TV News at 9.
All right, a couple things going on. Number one, people are just a little bit late to work today because of the snow, and everybody loves Steve Bertrand. I include myself in that group.
I love him big time. Chris, yep. Do you love Steve Bertrand?
I do.
See? Everybody loves
Impossible
him.
Impossible not to.
Yep.
Okay, this is so weird. I'm listening to all the reports about the snow coming in, and I thought, I got to get to the grocery store and get some groceries because there's a big storm coming.
Right.
And I step out my door, and there is no snow at all.
Are you calling from Hawaii?
Where are you?
Well, we moved from Illinois. We made the mass exodus last year. We're just over the border in Indiana.
Yeah.
So I'm in. My mailing address is Crown Point, but it's unincorporated Schererville. I drive about 3 miles to the crossroads of America, Route 30 and 41. It's snowing there.
But not by you.
No, I have a nice little bubble over my house, I guess.
That's
excellent.
The beauty of lake effect snow. You know, it just comes in a finger, and pretty soon that finger is going to be pointed at you.
See why we love you?
Abby, is there any snow at the Strachan Van Til?
At 41 and 30, yes.
There is.
Snow All right. at the track in Van Til. Yes, there is.
All right, just making sure.
Well, good. I'm glad you didn't get any snow, Chris. We appreciate that. Actually, we don't. I wish I was in a bubble.
Well, I have my groceries, so I know it's coming, so I'll be okay.
Be careful.
What's your go-to items? You get bread, milk, eggs, cheese. What else do you get? Beer?
Oh, well, you know what? Actually, all of a sudden, I've decided I have to start eating healthier, so... It was just good stuff, fruit and vegetables and whole grain and skim milk and yogurt. And I resisted all the things I shouldn't get.
Good ice girl.
Cream. You know ice cream in that?
I actually don't care for ice cream.
Oh, wow.
I don't really either.
Wow. That'd be the first thing I'd get.
Do you always get ice cream when you go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
I never get it, ever.
Oh, no. You should see my shopping list just says ice cream on it, and then sometimes I'll pencil in something else.
But like honey bunches of oats?
Maybe, sometimes.
All right, Chris, thank you for calling.
Be careful.
Bye,
okay,
Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You be more careful, because I think Bertrand's right. That finger will be pointing at you soon. It's going to happen there, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're so close.
It's
so strange.
I'm looking at it now, and it's moving that way.
Uh-oh.
How could they not have any snow at all that close by?
Because you've driven through Lake Effect snow where it's sunny in
there's
one
pockets.
Spot, and then it just
yeah.
it blows in.
Yeah.
But I can see her house, and it's just it's like 2 minutes away.
Oh.
All right, stand by, Chris. And this is Abby. How are you, Abby?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys today?
Real
I really
good.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I love WGN Radio.
Oh.
I'm in New Buffalo, Michigan.
Yeah.
And we've gotten a bit of snow, and I'm waiting for, like you said, the finger to point here and coming soon. But I was listening to about all the snow, the travel times, over 2 hours. I have an answer to that.
What is it?
Well, you were talking about that there was no paving or that your roads weren't
no
paved
plowing.
In certain neighborhoods.
They're paved, just not plowed.
I don't think there should be any paving. I think everybody should get up, dress appropriately,
yeah.
and not get in their cars. Can you imagine? And just ski to work.
That would be
they
interesting.
They have everybody rides
everybody
a bike day.
Yeah.
Everybody down the expressway skiing. I mean, it would probably, you'd get there faster.
I think you're
probably.
Right. It's
you know?
So much more fun.
Yes, and it's healthy. And I got to thinking about that. And I got, don't pave so that you can put your skis on and just everybody ski to work.
Why are you not running for public office, Abby? This is a miscarriage of justice.
Oh, I'm not a politician. I'm too unpolitically correct.
Oh, that's all right. It's worked for others recently. Let's see what happens. Well, I like your idea.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Abby.
Thanks for all right.
Bye. I think she meant plowed and not paved, right? The roads are already paved. You can't do anything about that.
Yeah, because I can't imagine it's easy to ski on unpaved roads.
No.
Like just gravel, wouldn't that kind of mess you up?
It would mess your skis up, yeah.
I've never downhill skied in my life. I never will.
You'll never do it ever?
No. I blew my first knee out first week of freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
And I hadn't skied before then, and then I won't ski
now.
There's
no desire to at all.
And cross country, that's just, why don't you just walk?
It's walking with skis.
Because there's snow.
Right.
Well,
right.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, then take the path.
It's so funny because I downhill all the time and I have no desire at all to cross country because it's just like walking.
So just
the
walk.
The best part of skiing is the fact that there's a hill there, a mountain
and
there.
And it's taking you quickly.
Right.
This is just, you know, just
right.
tie a couple
skis on.
Or tie a couple of tennis rackets to your feet and
yep.
call it a day.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I don't think that's right. All right, one more call. Can we take Jack?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jack.
Hey, oh, man, don't sit at the airport. You'll be
yeah,
in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
That's.
I was just going to expound on that lady that was talking about going shopping.
Yeah.
Well, you remember that blizzard that we had, I think it was in 14, where we got like 2 feet of snow, but like just dumped
where people
on
got
us.
Trapped on Lakeshore Drive, that one?
Groundhog Day, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was Groundhog. But I went to Florida, mm-hmm. okay, and I was there for about 10 days, and I'm scheduled to come back, I think it was a Sunday or Monday, and I'm watching Skilling, and he said, midnight, the snow's going to hit, and we're going to get 2 feet of snow. Well, prior to me leaving, all I had was just nothing but water in the refrigerator, thinking I'm going to be gone for 10 days, 2 weeks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So watching Skilling, I'm like, you know, I got to get going, because if I leave a day late, it'll take another week. So make a long story short, or a short story even longer.
Too late.
I got in about 10:30 that night, unloaded the car, got into bed, and it just started to snow. This is like around 11:30.
Yeah.
When I got up in the morning, couldn't even open the front door or the back door. So now you can't even go anywhere because you can't get out of the alley. The snow plows are stuck, okay? So I figure, well, you know what? Every 15 minutes, I'm going to shovel, and it looks like I didn't do anything. So now I'm starting to get hungry. And by about 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm really getting hungry. You can't go nowhere. I open the refrigerator. I'm like, huh, there's nothing but water in
water.
It. I look in the freezer. Right. There's frozen water in the freezer. But the only thing that was in there was a Nestle's chocolate chip. You know, you put it in the oven.
Yeah.
And it was dated 2010.
Oh.
And 4 years earlier? Yeah.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you know what? I already ate all my fingernails, and it's just not cutting it. So I'm like, right. I put it in the oven, and I made cookies for the first time in my life. And you know what? I'm still alive.
All right.
It wasn't that bad. And then a friend of mine told me, he says, well, you know, you idiot. You could have went to the Purple Steer, which was only a block away. They're open 24 hours. They never close.
Next time.
And I was like,
Yeah, next time. But
well, thank you, Jack. I'm glad you're still alive to tell that tale.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you guys were there to listen.
We're always here for you. And by the way, I believe it was in January, the snowstorm of 2014. Yes. The Groundhog Day one was in 2011.
I remember that was pretty bad, too.
Yeah.
Terrible ones.
Okay.
Thanks,
right,
Jack.
Enjoy your show, so keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
have a good day. Let's take a quick break. Steve, the lovable Steve Bertrand with the news, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. If you want to call us or text us, 312-981-7200 is the way to get that done.
Some very sad news to share with everyone. I believe late last week we were talking about Amy Krauss Rosenthal. She was a popular author, filmmaker, public speaker. She wrote that heart-wrenching column we spoke about, You May Want to Marry My Husband. She was battling ovarian cancer. And this essay she wrote was really just saying, my husband is the best guy on earth. I hope he finds someone. She passed away yesterday at the age of 51.
So sad. Very, very sad.
And we did talk about her, and we talked about her column. And I've just have been doing a little research, and it's very her life was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She was at a McDonald's one day with her kids, and she was an she worked for an advertising company. And she went to Tufts University. She said she had a McEpiphany. She was with her kids at McDonald's when she promised herself that she would leave advertising and become a writer.
Just to do something that she enjoyed more?
Yes. Good she kept her word. She started writing in the late 1990s. She published at least a book a year, sometimes three or four.
Wow.
She had completed. That's not easy to do. I know. She had completed seven more picture books before her death, including a collaboration with her daughter Paris called Dear Girl.
Nice.
So be on the lookout for that. And she wrote all these young children's books, which you and I off the air were wondering why we didn't get these for our kids, but our kids are too old.
They missed them, right? I guess so.
She wrote more than 30 children's books, including Little P, Uni the Unicorn, I Wish You More, exclamation mark, spoon, chopsticks, duck rabbit, the OK book, the Wonder Book, cookies, bite-sized life lessons, Plantacus, and Wumbers. And then Amazon had just given her a huge accolade in her memoir, saying it was one of the top 10 books of the decade.
Oh, wow.
It's called Encyclopedia of an Ordinary Life.
Wow.
So,
high accolades.
Yeah, big time. So that's sad news. At the age of 51, Amy Krauss Rosenthal has passed away from ovarian cancer.
I didn't know her. A friend of ours, a friend of my wife and mine, was very close friends with her. And last a week or so ago, when Kevin was away on vacation, Joey Gelman was filling in as producer, and his family knows their family pretty well. And everybody says very nice things about her. Obviously, to crank out that many books, really good books, in a short span of time is not the easiest thing in the world. So a hard worker, a diligent worker, and it's just sad. That's way too young to lose your life.
I know, 51 years old.
Way too young.
And she leaves behind, I believe, three kids and a husband. So to keep her legacy going, I am going to buy some of these little books, Uni the Unicorn, for my great niece, because I just think it would be a good way to keep her alive.
Did you think the reason we brought her up last week was she got a lot of attention nationally for this article about finding a replacement for her when she died. And you and I were both a little mixed on this. Both of us said versions of that's such a noble thing to do, to want to assure your husband some sense of happiness and normalcy, I guess, once you're gone. But that, boy, is that tough to do, to try to find your own successor in terms of a wife. I don't know.
And I read his comments on it. I can't find it right now, but I'll paraphrase. He just couldn't believe how she sold him.
Yeah.
You know, it was just an amazing essay. He was very touched by it, of course, very emotional.
I wonder how far that process got, you know, once she wrote that. I wonder if there was much response from women who read that, who sent in, you know, some sort of an answer saying, hey, if you are looking for somebody, I'm interested. I wonder where that was left, you know?
I don't know.
I don't think. Do you think that was
it
ever the point
of it? It wasn't a setup. No.
I don't think. I think
no.
It's just a
either.
Love letter to her husband that took that form, I think.
Yeah, I don't think people were reaching out, because that's what I was saying before, is he needs time to heal. It's
sure.
not like he's going to, you know, jump right back on the horse.
Right, right.
But it was
but
so
touching.
But if
you're her, wouldn't you want, I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week. If I died, you know, anytime soon, I wouldn't want Terry to spend the rest of her life saying, oh, that's it. I'll never have another husband. I would.
She wouldn't.
I know she wouldn't.
But I mean, that's something beyond your control. You're not there anymore. So,
right.
You know, I would imagine Jim would go on with his life.
And he would. He told me he would.
I'm surprised he hasn't already.
He told me a couple times that he would. There was a texter, and of course, this is a week removed, so I don't have the text in front of me. But a texter said that if his wife were to die, he knows for a fact he would never marry anyone else because it wouldn't be fair to her, the new wife. He said because he would constantly be comparing her to his first wife, and he couldn't do that to anybody. And I thought that was such a nice, honest way of explaining it, you know?
And again, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, so just go where the wind takes you, Bill.
That's, wow, yeah.
All right. Amy Krause Rosenthal's husband, Jason 52, said, I didn't really know exactly what she was composing. He released this statement to People magazine, but I was with her as she labored through this essay, through this process. And I can tell you that writing the story was no easy task. When I read her words for the first time, I was shocked at the beauty, slightly surprised at the incredible prose given her condition, and of course, emotionally ripped apart.
Oh, yeah. That I would have opened with that one, because that's what I would have been going through from start to finish. Just you're thinking to yourself, you're going through all this and you're thinking about me at this moment. That'd be very tough.
Married 26 years, and Amy Krause Rosenthal has passed away at the age of 51. Really
very
sad.
Awful, awful. All right, we will take a quick break. We'll check in a little bit with CNET and find out what's going on there. Bridget Carey joins us next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I guess Bridget Carey was snowed in New York. I heard news reports yesterday that they had canceled a bunch of schools in New York, and Mayor de Blasio was saying it's a preemptive strike, but it's supposed to be so bad. And I heard, you know, rumors that there were supposed to be 16, 17 inches of snow in New York and Boston. Have you talked to Kylie?
Kylie is attending school in Greenwich Village in New York, and they told everyone in the school on Monday morning, yesterday morning, there would be no classes today. There will be no classes tomorrow. So they know that at least the next 2 days, completely class free because of the snow.
We never got a snow day. I hate to say that.
They were very few and far between.
And now they get cold days.
Yeah.
Cold days.
What's the view from the balcony there, too, you Muppets?
But, you know,
it's true, though. I remember listening. All right. So if you grew up in Chicago, you had two chances. You could listen to WGN Radio, where Wally Phillips would tell you all the schools that were closed.
Or watch something.
Or you could watch Ray Rayner, and he would tell you on television all the schools were closed. And many times they would say every school in Illinois and the Midwest is closed, and then stare at the camera and go, except for yours, you're going to school, and we would have to go to school.
I know.
Oh, and you'd miss it, you know, because there weren't that many in Kankakee County. So if you missed it, if I missed Kankakee County, then have to go all the way
right.
through Cook and
right.
Lake and DuPage.
Right. See, now they have a system in place. Like, you could either get a robocall from your school.
That's usually what
they
happens.
They didn't have that, and there was nothing
no internet
like that.
To go check a website.
Right. So it was a rumor mill. Like, we would call our friends and we'd go, did you hear anything? And our friends would go, well, I didn't hear anything, but I don't think we're going to have school. And then I'd tell my mom, you know, Mark said there's no school, so there's no school.
I know.
It's just that simple.
And it's funny because, you know, being a kid and not wanting to go to school is one thing, but then being a parent where you have to go to work so you want your kid to go to school
right.
is a whole different
sure.
thing.
Sure, of course.
Bridget Carey is on the line with us, senior editor at CNET, at CNET.com. Bridget, how's the snow out there in New York?
Oh, it's chilly willy.
You're drinking already?
You don't have to answer that without a lawyer, Bridget. Don't feel bad.
Well, they were supposed to, the forecast was what, like 16 or 17 inches? Did you get all that?
Well, I mean, it looks pretty nasty outside my window. I mean, and we're all kind of cooped up in our apartments because they stopped running above ground subways in New York City. So, you know, it's a work from home kind of day, and I'm all toasty with the heater here. So,
Bridget, I saw a picture in the paper. There's so much snow in New York. The rats are wearing snowmobile suits.
Oh, you know.
That's right. You don't have to respond to that. Don't feel bad. All right. Yeah, catch us up. Even though there's snow, catch us up in the world of technology. What's going
on
this week?
It's Messenger Day, isn't it?
Well, there is something going on with Facebook Messenger. If you opened up your app over the weekend, you might notice this rolling out recently. Facebook is getting a little more Snapchatty. It's kind of this trend we're seeing where you can send disappearing cutesy videos and photos to your friends, and lots of apps now, including Instagram and WhatsApp. And it's kind of like what Snapchat all started, and everyone's getting in on it. Well, Facebook added the feature to its Messenger app. This is that separate app for just chatting privately with folks. But let's say take a photo or video of your day. You can throw some little animations, drawings, stickers, words on it, and then have it be broadcasted to everyone you're friends with. And if they open the Messenger app, they'll see, oh, here's Bridget Carey's little thing she shared with everyone at once. And it'll disappear within 24 hours. But I did it when I took my daughter to the museum the other day. You know, she was with some dinosaur bones and making like silly pictures with it. And then, you know, people, you know, I was just testing it out. So people who I might be, you know, friends or acquaintances with, I can let them know what I'm doing, but it's not on the main Facebook app, which was kind of like a little weird because they're not seeing it in their news feed. They're only seeing it if they open up Messenger, because Facebook just wants for people to use Messenger. It's an interesting thing that's happening to Snapchat. They're really small, but they're very trendy in what they started. And you have, you know, Facebook with billions of users and Snapchat with its, you know, less than, you know, 500 million users. Facebook can eat its lunch easily with how people are on it. But will people care to use it? You know, Facebook doesn't want to reinvent what's cool right now. So they're just doing it in their own way.
Yeah, I'm still going to stick with Snapchat. And that, to me, I don't follow a lot of people, but it's good to keep up with my great niece, who I don't get to see so much because her mother posts goofy little videos, and I put stuff up of my dog. That's it. There's not a ton of people looking, and I like to keep it small and personal like that.
Yeah, I think people are finding their own little niche networks in terms of like, oh, my family's only on Snapchat, or my close friends are only here on Instagram. And so everyone's trying to find like, it's that balance of, okay, I'm going to post something, but who's going to see it all, and, you know, what network is for which? I think people are also kind of shying away, or at least younger people, are shying away from Facebook when they get sick of all the news and political talk on there, and they just want to go to a place that has photos, maybe, and that's where Instagram and Snapchat are kind of shining, because you can't post articles on there. It's just what you did in your day, and it's not offensive, right? So,
Bridget, explain this to me, because I don't understand this. You mentioned the disappearing component. You can make a video or a picture that will then disappear a little while later. Why is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, it just makes it more informal. Personally, I think it's kind of silly, because you can always save a picture of it by, right, you know, taking a screenshot or downloading it, you know. And like what I ended up doing is taking photos that I just took normally and uploaded it into this program. So I still had the photo on my phone, and I could share it later with other networks if I wanted to. But for the people who see it, you know, it's just a quick glance at what that person's doing. And because it's so, I guess, ephemeral, it just makes it more informal for you to just send it out quick, no pressure, just be fun and, you know, irreverent about
it.
And I know, like, I actually follow my kids on Snapchat just to make sure they're not up to anything bad. And you can save a picture, but now can you save someone else's video before that 24-hour period is up? Because I don't think
the video is hard to save, right?
Yeah, that you can't do. So it just comes and goes. So I don't know that there's a benefit to it, Bill, but it's just, you know.
And I think people are finding ways to be creative storytellers when they have a short amount of video, or a short, like only 10 to 15 seconds to say something. And they kind of create a series of photos about an adventure. So like in my case, I went to the museum and stitched a bunch of these together with silly stickers and little words, you know, but I'm telling a story that way instead of the traditional, here's a photo and here's a caption.
All right.
All right. Now we've heard of smartphones and smart watches, and now there's what, a smart jean jacket?
Yeah. Google and Levi's are finally coming out with their smart jacket, and it's going to be $350 this fall. They kind of have woven in the technology into the fabric, and they say it's washable. I don't know, you know, if it's machine washable, but what it essentially is a wearable Bluetooth remote for your phone. They have a video that they just put up where some guy is riding a bike and slapping his like wrist cuff to change music as he's like just going about his day. But how is that any different than glancing at your smartwatch and hitting next, or using voice commands to say next song? So it's just another way of going, oh, I have a wearable device. But now you have Levi's and Google showing that, well, maybe it could be more fashionable. You know, normally tech and fashion, you know, don't really go together because it's like tech and then fashion's put as an afterthought. But here, fashion was like the main thought with a little tech thrown in.
And $350 for the smart jacket.
Yeah, it's a very expensive way to hit next on your music.
Yeah, it is.
Bill, what's going to happen with your smart underpants idea?
Yeah, I have smart underpants. How much are those going for?
I don't need that data leaking.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. Hopefully you don't get snowed in, and enjoy your time at home all warm and cuddly.
Oh, thanks. I'm writing right now about a sex toy company that is paying users after they were spying on their lives without their permission, because that's another data leak that you have to worry about now. Your sex toy is having that data leak. So, yeah, I'm definitely cozy here, keeping entertained with my next story.
And each user of these sex toys could be getting a lot of money, correct?
Yeah, $10,000 each, all because they were collecting how it was being used. And
how do you think it was being used?
the whole thing is just a sticky situation.
Oh, good morning. All right, she's Bridget Carey. You can find her at CNET.com. Bridget, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye, Bridget. Did Bridget get bawdier since she became a mom?
Yes.
She did, right? I'm not imagining
that. That's what happens to people sometimes.
I think it does. All right. We'll take a break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Ho, 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 it's magic, you know. Never believe it's not so.
All right, we are here with the Naked Magicians, and they've switched chairs, so now I don't know who's who, Bill.
It's sleight of hand. You guys tried to confuse us.
Sleight of body.
Christopher is I with a tie, and Mike's wearing the suspenders. G'day, guys.
Hi, guys.
Bloody hell are you?
Couldn't be better. We're so anxious to meet you. We've heard great things about you guys.
Stop it. Oh, don't stop it. Keep going.
I don't recognize you with your clothes on.
Same.
You look clever.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Christopher. So really, totally naked.
We work our way into it. We start the show fully clothed, and we're dressed up in suits. And then bit by bit throughout the show, we do lose our clothes. So by the end of the show, we get fully naked. It's kind of like a first date. We like to work.
Tinder date.
To work for. Yeah. We're guaranteed the nudity by the end.
Yeah. This is weird, by the way, because you guys have this glass where people on the street can walk past. And normally in interviews, we take all of our clothes off.
You do.
For the shock factor.
Yeah.
But like, there's literally people standing there staring in, and I'm like, I'm not ready for this.
Some of them are below the age of consent.
And so let me tell you, at the Naked Magicians, 18 plus, because stuff gets wild at that show.
Oh,
so
no.
There's, yeah.
If you're not ready to get naked, you're in the wrong job. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not ready to get naked on the streets of Chicago.
That's a good point, especially with the cold out there.
How did it start? I mean, I get the fact that you both were fans of magic, but how did the not having your clothes on while performing magic happen?
We were magicians, like full-time, both
right.
of us. Do you want to explain how
full-time clothed magicians back home in Brisbane, Australia, and
best
mates, and we decided to create a show that is unlike anything that other magicians are doing around the world. And we also, part of it was that we wanted to take magic to an audience that otherwise wouldn't normally attend a magic show.
Yeah.
So rather than do a show designed for kids or families, we decided to design the world's funniest and naughtiest magic show, and get the the girls' night out kind of crowd coming
sure.
along. And gay guys as well. We do have couples as well, but it's certainly a very naughty and cheeky magic show.
I bet you have a lot of bachelor parties that come see you.
Bachelorette parties.
Oh, that's what I meant.
If I see one more like penis straw that lights up or devil horns, I'm going to get a nosebleed over here. Can I say that?
You can say that. Yeah.
Okay.
You can
sure.
Nosebleed. Do audiences in America appreciate the same exact things that audiences in Australia appreciate, or is there a difference there?
One thing we've discovered with this show, we've been doing it for 3 years now all over the world, it doesn't matter who you are, every single person has that naughty side inside of them.
Sure.
And that's what this show is about. It's about celebrating that and bringing out your inner demon for an hour and a half and just having a good laugh about cheeky stuff. So it doesn't really matter where in the world we go. We get sort of the same reactions, but we're discovering, I mean, over here, I'll be honest, we get points because we are from down under.
Yeah.
Like that does work. And also every single night, because we're doing a 60 city tour over 6 months right now, over 100 shows, every single night it gets just a little bit crazier
does
than the
it?
Last. And I'm not making that up. This is our second tour of America. And every single night it's just a little bit crazier than the last. Something happens every night. We're like, I can't believe that happened. So yeah, Chicago better step up this week.
Oh, don't worry.
All right. So opening night is tonight.
That's right. At the Broadway Playhouse.
Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. It's 175 East Chestnut. Limited run only runs through the Sunday the 19th, correct?
That's exactly right. I mean, you guys had 4 inches of snow overnight. We're here to give you the full 8.
Of magic. 8 inches of magic. Yeah.
I know what you meant.
Wow.
I know what you meant.
NakedMagicians.com is where you go to find out more information. Now, how are you going to do a trick for us on the radio?
Well, we can do a trick and we'll have to explain it as we go. So all the people listening can... understand what's
going on. Now, before we go any further, we met as soon as we... just a minute before we went on the air. So we haven't set anything up with you guys, right?
Absolutely true.
You guys are a little bit, what are these guys going to do?
Yeah.
We switched seats and you thought we were playing at something? Or yours
so, Wendy, what we have here is a deck of cards. You can see them from over there, right?
Yes.
It's a normal deck. I'm going to reach over to you and get you to choose just one out for us, okay? Don't let me influence you. Choose any card you like.
Okay, so Wendy's picking out a card from the deck right now, and it's important that Mike and I don't see it, that we don't know what it is, and we're going to get you to sign it. So take that pen, but don't sign it with your name. Can you sign it with your adult film star name?
And
sign it on the face of the card, not on the red side, but the side that has, you know, the print of the card. So your adult film star name is actually a lot of fun. It's the first pet you ever had, the first street you ever lived on. You put them together.
Yeah, so mine would be like Buffy McBain, Buffy the Bird, and I lived on McBain Street. Yeah. Yeah, so while you're writing that down, your first pet name, first street name across the face of the card, what would yours be?
Mine's Puss St. Helens.
Oh, that's a nice name.
Thank you.
That's a lovely
Bill, what would yours be?
Natalie Shazadi.
That's where I know you from.
Yeah.
So, see, Shazati. Everyone's got an adult film star name. It's fun to come up with. First Shazati pet, first street.
The arty. There we go. All right. You sign right across the front of the card there for us. Is that right, Wendy?
Excellent.
I'm going to get you to put the card back in the pack here. Just say stop for me.
So, Mike's shuffling the deck there. And you're going to put it in somewhere random. That's very important. And we'll put the rest of the deck on top. And we'll shuffle those cards. You can hear them being shuffled. You guys can see
it's
this
an actual
right?
shuffle.
Yeah. We're giving them a good mix up here. And, Chris, I might hand over to you.
Yeah, now do you want to explain? Now we're touring all across America. We meet lots of people on the road, and we have to be prepared for every situation.
Every situation. We came prepared today. In fact, inside my wallet, if you can tell everyone what I've just taken out of my wallet right here, can
it
you see
looks,
that?
To be a prophylactic.
It is. It is.
How old are you?
No one by people under 80 is a condom.
Yeah.
it's in the wrapper right now. Spot.
And you can see it sealed up here. I'm just going to carefully open. You can see there's nothing in my hands. I'm going to carefully open that wrapper and. Wendy, if you can just check, have a look inside. What do we have inside that condom wrapper?
It's a folded up playing card.
There's no condom inside.
Yeah.
Can you please unfold that card that's been inside that condom wrapper, inside Mike's wallet?
Wendy, does this card look familiar to you?
Lucky Park. Is
that your card you signed just a minute ago?
Yes, that's it.
It was in your wallet the whole time.
There you go.
Sealed condom wrapper. I don't get it.
And it's signed by you, so we know it's definitely your card. Lucky Park.
Yes.
Might get lucky tonight.
It's magic.
It is magic.
That's all it could possibly
notice
be.
Notice their Sharpie marker is bigger than the ones we used to? King size.
Hey, it doesn't matter what size a Sharpie is. Just how you use it, okay?
All right, I am blown away. I got to be careful what I say. About magic. Magic is so cool. I know there's a trick to it, but did you figure that out?
No.
And look, that's the cool thing. We love that. I mean, this show has opened up magic to people that might not normally go and see a magic show. So the magic in the show is amazing. The comedy is very naughty and very funny. And it just so happens that two Aussies get naked during the process.
That's going to happen, guys. What can you do about it?
It does happen.
You're not embarrassed at all?
I got nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not saying you do, but you know,
we work very hard to not be embarrassed.
During the cold weather months, though, wouldn't you rather come in
the
summer?
Oh, we have the aircon turned up nice and warm. We don't want the show to be shorter than normal here. Chicago.
More with the Naked Magicians next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. The Naked Magicians are here. They're performing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Tonight through Sunday, you have 8 chances over the next 5 nights to see them, and you should see them. What do your moms say about all this?
Our parents are both really proud.
Are they?
Now that we're touring the world with the show. And at the start, it was kind of weird. I do remember one of our first shows when Chris's mum was in the front row.
It
was right about the moment when we got naked and I locked eyes with her. And I can't actually look at it the same way again. But yeah, they're super supportive right now.
Yeah.
At the start, they were a bit weird. It's like, are you sure this is a good idea? But I just bought them a trip to Vegas for mum's 60th. And now she's like, I'm so proud of you. So it's cool. We're good.
That's you so won weird them over. To be a mom and, you know,
sure.
See your junk.
Yeah, well, I mean, she saw it. When we get like objectified a bit when they come to the show and they see other, you know, getting sexualized. But it is what it is. And
There have been cities on the tour that have said, we get the name, the Naked Magicians, but in this city, that doesn't play. You got to put some pants on. Is that happening?
Can we
at
tell
all?
Them? Yeah.
Let's tell them.
Oh, it's in this state, too.
It is. We can't tell you the city, but it is in Illinois.
Yeah.
And
this is true.
It was quite a small city. This is 100% true. And we got booked for a show there, and there was a billboard of us naked, you know, with their top hats covering our magic wands. And it was placed, it was around Christmas time when the show went on sale, and it was placed in front of a nativity scene.
It was behind the nativity scene.
Okay.
So then when you were standing and looking at the nativity scene.
In the background, you could see our
We were
billboard.
Perfectly framed in the back. So people were taking photos of the nativity scene. And
so they protested to the council.
Oh, no.
Because it was in a venue that was owned by the council.
Yeah.
And they pulled the show. So it's the first time we've been pulled before we got naked.
but I'm sure you're explaining them that this is high art. You can't edit this.
Well, look, the thing is, it's kind of funny because obviously we're not high art and we're not curing cancer, but it's not like it's not pornographic. I mean, it's not crass humor.
Right.
It is very, very naughty. You know, it's 50 Shades of Magic. We won't lie about that. But it's not, you know, we're not doing foul acts or anything on stage. And every single person has that naughty side in them. I mean, that's why we're all here, because our parents met our other parents and got naughty. But yeah, there's some towns are, you know, slightly more
conservative.
But one time the show was canceled out of 3 years, that's still pretty great.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, we did 150 shows last year around the world. And this is the first time in 3 years, literally hundreds of shows that anyone's, you know, it was kind of like a Footloose kind of town. As in they weren't Footloose, but they were like the... the townspeople from Footloose.
Yeah. Yes.
And we've done China. We even did Hong Kong and got fully
what
naked on stage
did
in
you?
Hong Kong. Yeah. We did a couple of weeks run in Hong Kong in 2015. So, and it was received really well. And it's something we learnt that everyone has that naughty, cheeky side in them.
Right.
And it just so happened that a city, a small group of people protested and got pulled. But it is what it is. Everyone else can enjoy it.
You know, if the nativity scene wasn't there, maybe that wouldn't have
might
happened.
Might have been okay. Yeah.
Yeah, poor Mary. Poor
Trump.
She would have enjoyed the show, I hear.
Sorry, Jesus.
She would have loved it, yeah.
Right. I saw one of the wise men looking at you kind of sideways, too.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
It's the one that brought the myrrh.
Right.
It's always the one that brings
the myrrh.
He's
like, hey, guys, I brought the myrrh.
Right.
It's always him.
Who's that Australian?
It's always... other magicians, what is their reaction to this?
I don't like it. They hate us and we love it. No, they're too busy. They blog about us and go to children's birthday party gigs and talk about how they don't like our show. And they're like, you guys are ruining traditional magic. And we're like, thank you. That was the point, right? We wanted to strip away
the magic stereotypes. The top hats, the capes, and magic wands, you know, and really do deliver on the name of on the poster, the Naked Magicians, the funniest and cheekiest magic show. Should point out, a lot of successful magicians are cool with us.
I bet Penn and Teller are fans, aren't they?
I don't know if
they
are. I'm sure they haven't seen our show yet. But
Copperfield doesn't mind the show. He knows about it. All our friends are, some of our closest friends, they're in The Illusionists, the cast of that show.
Yeah.
So
it's not all magicians that hate us, but probably 95%.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I don't see why. I mean, you know, everybody does a different thing with magic tricks that have been done forever and ever, right? I mean, you're trying
No one's got naked before and done it, so... Yeah. You know,
some of them feel like we're tarnishing the art, is the way I'd put it. But whether it's the first time where there's been 1,000 bachelorette parties, women, couples, gay couples having fun, celebrating naughty stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about. And we were about this before we were naked magicians, we were normal magicians, and more so now, that we've always wanted to take magic to people that normally wouldn't want to go and see magic. And that's what makes this show fun and special.
Yeah.
So that's okay. So, we didn't make this show for magicians, that's for sure.
Right.
Project into the future 30, 40 years when you guys are old, what will the show be like then?
Fully clothed and on it four in the afternoon. Yeah.
Formerly naked magicians.
four in the afternoon.
Yeah. Before we go to Chili's for dinner.
Yeah. At five.
It definitely won't be us in the show then. We've got a good few years. And it's like we look okay now.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, can we take our shirts off right now?
Yeah, we can do a little bit.
We got you guys to take our shirts off, right?
I even get Wendy's seal of approval.
Yeah, so Wendy, if we take our shirts off.
And I was going to ask you that. You know, if you have to keep in shape for this, obviously. Oh, yeah, that's not bad. At all.
Oh, yeah? Is it okay?
Oh, thank you.
For everyone listening that might be interested in naked men, can you just give them the stamp as we take off our clothes?
I can't stop looking. There's Mike.
We can't take it all off because we do have a two-way window right next to us with people walking to work.
Of course.
Oh, Christopher, I know that sound. The clanking of a belt buckle.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Christopher, I couldn't notice that you got attacked with somebody with a stapler gun. What happened to you there?
Are you talking about my tattoo or my piercing?
There's a piercing.
Yeah. I got a tattoo on my chest. I've got my nipple pierced. Yeah. It was good. I don't know. I like doing stuff like that. I got a couple of tattoos on my body. And Mike's the clean skin. Yeah. He's the good cop. I'm the bad cop.
Yeah. Well,
depending on the night.
I'm the bad cop. You're the worst cop. Yeah.
Well done.
We're the bad boys of magic from Australia. So
this
what
is the quietest Wendy's ever been. I worked with Wendy for years and years and years. Never quiet like this.
I'm just
Wendy,
telling
look
you,
me in the eyes. Not a piece of meat. Oh, wait.
You could mess up every trick and no one would even notice. I mean, no one.
You could do 90 minutes of the Linking Rings, Wendy would go, this is the best show I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Thanks. That's quite the testament, actually. Yeah. Yeah, but there is no, all the magic in it is kind of, there's no traditional magic in this show.
Yeah.
All the stuff is, it is really, actually, I would love to mention, we're doing a trick in the show now that involves every single member of the audience.
Oh,
and magic
yeah.
shows don't do that. So when you come to the show, don't just expect to watch it, expect to be a part of it. There's some amazing magic that literally happens in the entire hands of the entire audience, which is a really cool moment. So there's no Linking Rings. Yeah.
And the audience doesn't have to take their clothes off.
Not during the show. After parties are
sometimes a little different. Yeah.
Has that ever happened where somebody's thinking,
Wendy.
Oh, these guys are naked? What's the difference? What?
We
Wendy.
Had someone the other night
see?
Get naked in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Don't mention that. We can't talk about that.
I don't think. Can't tell you where or when, but that has happened.
But I mean, like, because anywhere from like up to 10,000 people see the show on our biggest weeks, you know. And sometimes, you know, there's alcohol involved, and you know all the elements. So you know, there's a few stories from the road, but we keep our noses clean. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it really is a non-stop party atmosphere when you come in. There's an energy in the in the theater. It's unlike any other magic show or comedy show that that I've ever been a part of or been at as an audience member. So
we're definitely going to stand out when we play the Chicago Playhouse this week. Yeah,
no
it's
going to
be very different from the King
Broadway
and I
Playhouse. Yeah,
Broadway Playhouse well. Water Tower Place, opening night tonight. I bet magic has never been so fantastic. I'll just say it runs through Sunday. Better get in before they get out.
Oh, I there like that. Yeah. In and out is how we do it. Nakedmagicians.com or come find us on Facebook. You can stalk our photos, find out what we're doing and see some of the magic. We post a lot of videos online.
What magic?
Mike, Christopher, great to meet both of you. I hope you guys have a very successful run.
You guys are hilarious. So I feel like we've just been hanging out with friends for 10 years.
Awesome. That's what we're hoping for.
And one of my friends wants to bang me from across the table.
Bill.
Zing.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
A quick break and then more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ryan, you know what you probably couldn't see? I don't know if you were watching on the monitor.
Were
you watching a little bit of that? Wendy, you had the same thing that I thought only guys did. If there happens to be somebody of the opposite sex naked in the same room, we want to make eye contact, but every once in a while, we want to just look down and take inventory.
Oh, I didn't make any eye contact.
You didn't make any eye contact at all.
But they didn't have their pants off. I just want that to be known.
I know. I saw you fill out a complaint form.
Why one of them was buckling his belt there at the end?
Yes.
Just to show, where the fun leads. They just had their shirts off, and they were, honestly, I don't think I'd even notice the magic tricks if I went to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're really funny.
They're both very funny. And
you and Kevin were more excited than I was about the fact that they're from Australia, Wendy.
Right. That impressed us.
Do you think that our 8 inches of snow impressed them?
All yes.
Can I just talk to you about the snow?
Ryan, join us on the stream.
Because there's a lake effect snow warning. Now, I thought we got all that we were going to get, but now I'm seeing that we could get 10 more inches.
You know, I don't know about 10 more inches, but it kind of depends on where you're at. We're seeing some areas near Racine, Waukegan that could see some lake effect, maybe another couple inches added there. So It all depends where you are. Are you guys seeing sunlight down there right now?
Yeah, it's like
it's getting
sunny.
Bright out right now. I think if you're in Northwest Indiana too, you've got a world of hurt coming probably this afternoon and into the evening.
And just to show everybody that this is temporary, it's supposed to reach about 50 or so in the weekend.
Oh, it'll
it?
Be gone.
Yeah, it'll melt quickly.
But then we're going to get rain.
Yeah.
So then flooding will happen.
Yeah.
Mundelein, the winner, 8.9 inches.
Congratulations, Mundelein.
From Monday night into Tuesday morning, Waukegan right behind, 8.8 inches, Gurnee 8, and then you get down to Batavia, the lowest, 1.6.
Hmm.
Evanston got 2.
I know we got more than that. You should see our driveway. It's jammed. It's got snow everywhere. There's way more than 2 inches.
Didn't you shovel before you left?
No, not before I left. When I get home, I will.
I felt awful. I got 3/4 of the way down, and my train was coming, and I texted my wife. It was like 5 in the morning. I'm like, I'm sorry. I couldn't complete it. It's going to be on you.
My hubby was out there wiping the cars off and shoveling the front because this is the one day Michael had to get to school at 7 a.m. for a meeting.
Yeah.
Really? Walk.
Yeah. Did you suggest that?
No, we got up early and cleaned off the cars. But the National Weather Service has put together a list of things that you should keep in your vehicle. And I want to go over these because I bet we're going to not have any of these.
You mean already in your car?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So this is what you need in case of a snowstorm because you could get stranded. What about that pileup, by the way, Ryan, that happened on the Kennedy? How many cars were involved?
35, 7 people hurt. I mean, thankfully no fatalities in this one. But one of the guys who was interviewed said, yeah, we were all going way too fast. We should not have been moving as fast as we were. But, you know, you see a car doing 60 on that, and you're like, oh, maybe I can do 60. I've got a better car.
You know? Then that car stops from doing 60. And
was this in one pileup, Ryan, or more than one?
There was at least one pileup. There may have been two pileups, but the big one was the 35 car one that happened about 10:30 last night.
And there's nothing you can do.
Of course not. It's
you
a chain reaction.
You ride those brakes, and it's like, whoa.
Oh, if you get a chance, jump on YouTube and watch some of these. You know, they've got those overhead cameras. There was a really bad one in, like, Kenosha, Wisconsin last year, I want to say. And you're just watching. It's like the Blues Brothers when you see the police vehicles just kind of flipping underneath the L tracks. It looks just like that. There's no stopping it.
Mm. All right. Well, these are some of the things we're supposed to have in our car. According to the National Weather Service, mobile phone, charger, and batteries.
Well, mobile phone
is with you all the time.
Almost everybody has that now.
Charger, yes. Extra batteries?
I don't have an extra battery. I don't know if I know anyone who has an extra car battery.
No, not an extra
car battery or phone battery?
Phone.
Oh.
I have one of those. I guess that's what it's called. Those chargers that you
put in your cigarette lighter?
No, you charge them. I guess that is a battery.
It is.
You pre-charge it. I have one of those in the car. Oh. Probably not fully charged. Blankets or sleeping bags?
I don't have either.
I left those in my Chevy van.
Just in case.
The carpeted ceilings.
Right.
Flashlight with extra batteries.
I don't have that.
I have a mini flashlight.
Most people have the app on their phone, right? My daughters both have a flashlight app on their phone.
Yeah, but what about when your phone dies?
Oh, that's a problem. All right.
First aid kit?
I don't know that I have that either.
I don't have
a single thing
I know.
Yet.
High calorie, non-perishable food items.
Don't have that.
I got nothing.
Do not.
I used to keep corn nuts in the glove compartment just for emergencies, but then they never last because I like corn nuts. That's the best thing to eat on a road trip.
I guess so.
I'm the same way with Twizzlers. I don't think there are any Twizzlers right now in my car.
Extra clothing to keep dry.
Nope.
Sack of sand or cat litter for traction.
No.
That I don't think you need to anymore.
It would be nice.
All-terrain tires.
The way they make the car these days, right? You can get anything. Yeah.
I don't think you need
Please
that.
Please just mention one that I have.
Shovel and toolkit?
I do not have either of those.
Battery booster cables?
No.
I do in one of the cars, but not the one I'm driving. So that's not helpful. I have nothing but my car phone.
This is terrible. I'm the least prepared person on the planet.
I don't think you guys are driving in the mountains of the Rockies, though. I mean,
no,
if you are off on the side at 355, I don't think it's going to take too long. You know, start monitoring your rations.
Right, that's true. As I look at other drivers and decide who to eat, if I need to turn into
grab the
cannibalism.
Well, yeah, blowing and drifting snow is possible during this storm, which will reduce visibility, contribute to dangerous travel conditions. you know, if you were involved in that 35 vehicle pileup on the Kennedy, you would wish that you had some corn nuts, a blanket.
I don't have any of those.
And a flashlight.
Does it say belt that can be used as a tourniquet? Because I have a belt that could be used as a tourniquet.
You're wearing it.
Yeah, well, my
pants would fall down. An additional one.
But I'd be alive.
I wonder if a seatbelt can be used as a tourniquet.
Oh, there you go. Point, Ryan.
It's already backed. There you go.
Well, how are you going to cut the seatbelt?
Bite through it.
I would not want to be in like on Survivor with you.
No, I would break the record for the person who lasted the least long.
I would just cry. That's what I would do.
I can't believe I don't have one of the things. I didn't expect to have all of them, but I thought I'd have a couple.
A blanket you should always have, and I honestly had one in both cars. When we bought the new car, it was a crappy blanket, and I didn't want a crappy blanket in a new car.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares? It's a blanket.
Are books on the list? Because I have a couple books in my...
What is a book going to do? Help you while away the time?
Yeah, it would eat up the time while somebody
with
came
with what light?
You
don't have a flashlight.
I would only read during the daytime hours.
How long do you plan
on being lost for days. I know you're just thinking, oh, it could be a long couple of hours, but I'm looking at days. I want to read something.
Do you want this list so you can equip your car?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I do.
Take it. All right, 312-981-7200. Ryan, how many inches do you think we're expected to get for the rest of the day? Like, the bulk of it's over, isn't it?
Like I said, it kind of depends on where you are. Right now, we're seeing a little bit of flurries out here, but this thing's supposed to end at 4 o'clock, so I don't think that much more. But, you know, I'm not in Racine. I'm not in Waukegan right now. I'm not in Portage or Valpo.
There's only one Ryan Burrow, Wendy. You know that. He can only be in one place at one time.
I'm with you.
You need to clone yourself. All right, 312-981-7200. We will take your calls, because I would like to know who has all those things in their car.
Tom Skilling.
Yeah, you're right. He's the only one, though.
He'd be the guy. I want to travel with him. If I know there's a snowstorm coming, I want to invite Tom Skilling to join me in the car.
You wouldn't travel, because if he knew there was a snowstorm, he wouldn't go.
Right, that's true.
He'd stay
at home.
Do you
think that maybe Tom Skilling wants to get caught in those storms, though? You have a feeling that maybe he wants to pull off to the side of the road and watch it go by. Yeah,
your extreme weather conditions. So he'd be the guy to be with under these circumstances. Yeah,
he would be the guy to be with.
Right,
we're gonna go to Indiana and get caught in a storm. Let's do this.
Goody gumdrops, yeah. Ryan. The snow's coming. All right, we'll take a quick break. Then we have all kinds of things. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy at 720 WGN. We are heading over to the stream at WGNplus.com. You can go to WGNradio.com and you can find, I think there it's WGN Extra.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be a link and you can phone us if you choose. Don't text us at this number, but actually legitimately call us 312-235.
Sing it.
2525. You wrote the number down wrong, Kevin.
Did I? What is it? What does it say?
You're off by a digit.
312-235. 2525.
Yeah, you put 2535.
Oh, well, you know.
Kevin's out to get us.
It's math.
You're sabotaging us, Kevin.
We were talking about being caught in a snowstorm or a blizzard roadside, and then the National Weather Service put together a list of things that you should have in your car at all times. A mobile phone, charger, batteries, blankets, sleeping bags. One or the other, I think, would suffice.
Right.
Flashlight with extra batteries, first aid kit, high-calorie, non-perishable food items, extra clothing to keep dry, a sack of sand or cat litter for traction, a shovel and toolkit, and battery booster cables. Stu, you have all of these items.
Yes, but I'm in a semi.
But still, Stu, that's impressive. I mean, to have one or two is not bad, but I think you're 9 for 9. That's amazing.
Well, I also have a sewing kit, a refrigerator, a microwave, extra, pretty much everything.
Do you have one of those sleeper cabs?
Yeah.
What's the room like in there when you're taking a nap? Can you really fall asleep?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Is it like a vault?
No. Mine is rather large. You can stand up in it. I actually have about 6 feet, 10 inches of headroom. And there's an upper bunk and a lower dinette. It's like a camper.
You should go on tour with Stu, Wendy. I think you'd like it. Can Wendy come with you on your next haul?
Absolutely.
All right.
What are you hauling, Stu?
Right now, aluminum ingots.
That's right up Wendy's alley.
How do you know what's up my alley?
I know what's up your alley.
Yeah, they came out from overseas, got them off the docks in Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah, and they're headed where? Where is the biggest need for ingots right now?
Well, they're going up to Manitowoc.
That was my guess. Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
That's right.
We laugh, but the ingot shortage there has not been pleasant.
Okay, so you picked them up in Baltimore? You've been on the road all night?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm like, wow.
No, I took a 10-hour break in over in Ohio, and now I just went through the Portage toll booth here on the Indiana Turnpike, and the roads suck.
Yeah,
they do.
Terrible.
Are you getting hit right now with snow?
Oh, yes.
And it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, Stu, or is it okay where you are?
No, we're going along here about 35, and it's in the construction here. It's single lane.
Yeah.
But I'm about to get on 80-94 and head over to the tri-state.
Yeah, that part of Indiana, the road's been under construction since I was a boy, since I was a little kid.
Yes.
They need more ingots.
Yeah. That's what the problem is. That's it.
Well, Stu, we are totally glad that you are prepared with everything, because you never know what you can expect on the road.
Yes, and I've been snowed in the mountains for a day and a half because of avalanche control, and plenty of food. I was actually heating up food for some of the cars around me.
Look at
That's
you.
So nice of you.
What do you have, like SpaghettiOs or beefaroni or something like that?
No, my wife and I cook up when I'm home and freeze stuff, and I take it on the road, and then I just nuke it.
Yep.
Let's see, I've got cabbage soup and haddock, frozen vegetables, sandwich stuff, raw carrots.
Ingots.
Fruit. Ingots.
Ingots, if you want to mix some ingots in.
They're a little hard to gnaw on.
Stu, I got to tell you, you eat better than my family does in your truck.
Yeah, well, I have some health issues with high blood pressure and everything, and my wife thinks I should have died yesterday, so we're watching my diet.
That's awesome.
It's tough when you're 62 and trying to keep your weight down, because you don't get a lot of exercise out here.
You should get a gym in your cab.
Yeah, treadmill while you drive. Think about it. You don't have to answer. Just think about it. You've got standing room in there. You can put a treadmill where the steering wheel is.
Why not a stationary bicycle?
Yeah.
You can do that while you're driving.
I put it on cruise control, and this truck's got an automatic. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, drive safely, will you, Stu, and hope your health keeps up.
No, I'm keeping an eye on it.
Awesome.
Thank you, Stu.
Calling.
Nice meeting you.
Okay, nice talking to you guys. Take care.
Drive safe.
All right, bye.
You didn't ask him to honk his horn. Most people on the radio who are talking to a trucker.
I wanted to, but, the weather conditions are a little scary, so I didn't want anyone to be frightened. But next time, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has in the Wintrust business lunch. And don't forget, we're on the stream now. If you want to listen to the bonus hour of our show, you have the chance to do that next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.